American at a time.
Arm's length reporting for investors who want the whole story. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
Okay, welcome in. You're listening to the continuing, I guess I should say, to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I have a gentleman on the line with me who I met through our comment section. I guess the correct word to use here is blog. His name is Dennis O'Neill. Dennis is an attorney. He is back in Illinois, if I'm not mistaken. He made some comments actually correcting me on some statements I had made about a company called Scorpio Mining, which we're going to talk about later on in a future show, because I don't want to have any misconceptions out there. But in chatting with Dennis, it turned out that he is an attorney who is involved in estate planning, for lack of better terms, and within the concept of his practice, Dennis has gotten very, very interested in companies involved in the resource sector. Now, coming from a what I would have to say a fairly conservative individual living in Illinois, he is the exception rather than the rule, because as we're all aware, people who invest in the resource sector don't comprise a very large population. My question for Dennis initially was, what piqued your interest in this, Dennis?
Well, Al, in my study of history in college, I was introduced to the Austrian School of Economics and Ludwig von Mises specifically. And in studying his works, especially Human Action, it tells us why we're in the economic times that we are right now.
You bet.
I think Ludwig von Mises would describe our current situation as the crack-up boom phase,
yeah.
Kind of the phase of the party where the hostess has called you a cab and removing the lampshade from your head.
Yeah.
In that respect, I don't think people should be long unsustainable when the end happens.
Mm-hmm.
So I think investing in things is very important as opposed to investing in things that can be created through a keystroke.
You know, Dennis, that's exactly a comment that was made by my friend Bob Moriarty about 2 or 3 years ago. He said, you know, Bob is ahead of his time in an awful lot of his comments. But at the time, he said, you know, you watch. People are going to want to invest in things. And things are represented vis-a-vis the resource sector by assets in the ground. Well, it turns out that all of us were right, you know, when we said years ago that that things are the place to be. I mean, you look, as we're recording this thing early in the week, gold's trading again. It's approaching $1,800 an ounce. My prediction is, by the time the show airs on the weekend, we'll probably see gold over $1,800 an ounce. Look what's going on with silver, and look what's going on with the serious mining companies involved in this sector. They're all doing really well.
Did you see our Treasury Secretary's comments from Mexico City in regards to European reducing the chance of catastrophe? To me, if you look at that in another way, if you reduce the exposure to catastrophe, then we still have an exposure to catastrophe.
Oh, yeah.
And when we have the Treasury Secretary, when we exist in an economy that has fiat currencies that, besides having the tender laws,
mm-hmm.
the confidence in the currency is the only thing that the currency has. And to have the Treasury Secretary talking up catastrophe, it only makes me think of 2008 when Paulson was at least lobbying the Congress for what would happen if they didn't act. And at least he was lobbying for $700 billion back then.
Yeah.
At least he was lobbying our Congress. We have our Treasury Secretary now talking to the world.
Mm-hmm.
It makes me think of what is Geithner's role in the European Union.
You know, that's a really, really interesting point that you bring up. What I find to be fascinating, Dennis, is the fact that we're going through an election process right now. We're early in the process, but we're going through an election process where I don't see the candidates on the Republican side talking as much about serious economic issues as they should be, because, you know, even the president is expressing, I would have to say, more concern over the financial situation of our country than is coming out of the rhetoric of some of these debates. You know, as Peggy Noonan said in an editorial that she wrote that was in the Wall Street Journal exactly a week ago today, she said, you know, the one place where the Republicans are shooting themselves in the foot is come August, September, the president is going to be able to say, I got us through the mess. It hasn't changed yet, but at least we're still here economically. Okay, that's an issue that I think is going to be hard for the Republicans to overcome, whether you support the current president or don't, because we are not in this country focusing enough on situations that simply need to be rectified. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that. You're from a banking background.
Yeah, sure.
And when you fully examine the fractional reserve banking system, what you see is legalized insolvency.
Exactly.
And in that respect, I think we go back a full circle to where we started this conversation, and owning things, I think, is going to become more and more important to people. You should not be long unsustainable when unsustainable ends.
No, I agree 100%. And, you know, and I commend you for, in your practice, taking Austrian economics into consideration. Or maybe I should be a little stronger in that and say that, you know, using Austrian economic philosophies to guide your investing. To me, that makes all the sense in the world, you know, and it's all about sound money. I mean, the guy who I would vote for president is a guy, Ron Paul, who is definitely all about sound money. You know, I'll bet you that the congressman is one of the few politicians in Washington, D.C., who has a portfolio of mining stocks. And he has that portfolio because he agrees with you, Dennis, and myself when we say, you got to buy things. You don't want to buy keystrokes.
Then I think Ron Paul might have a few coins with a cost basis, a few 1 ounce coins with a cost basis of $35.
Oh, I bet he does. No, I bet he does. Well, listen, we got about 2 minutes left here. Tell me what kind of companies you're looking at, basically. Juniors, seniors, what types of companies?
Well, I kind of have it as a barbell. I have everything from Yukon exploration plays to small producers to some of your larger companies. Silver Wheaton I like a lot for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
I view that as my savings account. A few, of course, the company that we discussed, Scorpio Mining, I think is interesting to look at.
Sure.
I also like one of your sponsors, Arcana.
Yeah.
It's having a great day today as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
Alexco, it's a very nice silver play up in the Yukon. You have to understand their relationship with Silver Wheaton before fully engaging there. They're having a nice day as we speak. Everyone's having a nice day as we speak.
Oh, yeah.
It's a good day to be talking to Al Corwin. Silver trading over $37 an ounce.
It's a good day to be in the market. But, you know, I have to tell you, Dennis, I think this is only the beginning. We have been talking about this for a long time. I switched the focus on this program, as listeners are aware, back around 2001 when gold was trading at $254 an ounce. I did that for the very simple reason that I firmly believed that the emperor, which I will use as a characterization for the U.S. economy, really wasn't wearing any clothes, but I think he's very definitely wearing clothes right now. Dennis
just
O'Neill.
One thing, Al, before
sure.
you go,
yeah,
I'm
sure.
from Ohio,
yeah.
not Illinois.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Not to, to admit my being a Buckeye.
you know what?
My wife made me a Buckeye when I was going to law school.
Listen, a friend of mine was an All-American for the Buckeyes, so I've got no problem whatsoever with that particular university. Dennis, real quick, tell us a little bit about what you do. We've got about 30 seconds here, and how can listeners find out more about what you do?
Well, I'm a trust and estate planning attorney. I like to help my clients avoid probate and reduce exposure to federal estate taxes, state estate taxes when applicable. But the only bad question is one that someone does not ask. I'd welcome a call from anyone. I have an 800 number. 800-395-8787.
Well, we're going to do better than that. Listen, you get me a banner. You get me some information. We'll put it up on the site along with your picture. Appreciate you being on the show, and we will definitely, definitely do this again. I do appreciate your time.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, the federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237, extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
How would you like to save over $100 on your gardening seeds this year? You can at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds offers 100% open-pollinated, heirloom, non-hybrid, GMO-free premium vegetable seeds. On sale now for only $59 for 100 packets. Your 100 packets will include a variety of vegetable seeds, common herb seeds, and garden variety fruits. You can even collect your seeds from the plants you grow so you don't have to purchase more seeds year to year. Go to GetSeeds.net for a chance to buy your seeds at 300%+ below online retailers' prices. Save money and get non-hybrid, heirloom, GMO-free premium growing seeds at GetSeeds.net. GetSeeds.net or call us at 877-341-GROW. That's 877-341-4769. GetSeeds.net.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Okay. Back with Grant Williams, as promised. Grant has a newsletter that I have been pitching on this site for a long time called Things That Make You Go, Hmm. Grant writes this newsletter out of Singapore. I really do think it's one of the better ones. There's no question about that. And Big Al is not getting paid to say that. Grant, how's everything over in the Far East right now, buddy?
Good, thanks, Al. Yeah, we're just up. It's the morning here, so just going to go and deal with the fallout from last night in the U.S. and Europe.
Well, there was a bit of a fallout. I think the thing that I find really intriguing that happened this week, a couple of things that happened. I want to talk about Bernanke's comments last Wednesday, but before we do that, I want to talk about what's going on in Europe in terms of the banking situation over there. Is that going to solve the problem?
It's going to solve a problem, and that problem is liquidity. It's not going to solve the problem of solvency, and that's the big dichotomy here. You know, we have a solvency problem as being... It's being fixed with liquidity. I mean, the second LTRO was just over €500 million, €590 billion, euro, but it went to 800 banks as opposed to the 500 of banks that the first LTRO went to. So clearly, there's some stress there. This was always going to be spun positively, though. If there was a big take up, people were going to say that the bank's funding needs for the next couple of years were taken care of. If it was a small take-up, the initial spin was always going to be that the banking balance sheets were in better shape than perhaps people had feared. But I suspect if we take a couple of days to look into these numbers, I suspect over the weekend you're going to start to see some more divisive analysis being made.
You know, what I find to be interesting is I read a report that came out at the beginning of the week put out by the IMF, International Monetary Fund, and they were saying that they're not really sure, and this was before this banking situation happened early Wednesday morning here in the United States, but they were saying that they didn't really trust necessarily the stress tests that were put in place for some of the European banks. And they felt, actually, that the European banking system was still a long, long ways from being out of the woods. And, you know, it's interesting. One of my listeners sent me an email before I even got out of bed Wednesday morning where he was talking about this, and he said, this is really kind of interesting because, you know, the banks are going to get this money at 1%, and they're going to invest it in some of the bonds. For example, some of the Italian bonds, and get 5%. And for doing nothing, they're going to get 4%. Well, is that really a good thing to happen in terms of increasing credibility? I don't know, man. What do you think?
Well, look, it's a means to try and help repair bank balance sheets. I mean, the stress tests, going back to your first point, the stress tests were, you know, were almost comical, frankly. I mean, I think nobody really took them seriously. It's interesting that the IMF had come out and said that in public. But
yeah.
You had this crazy situation where Dexia was ranked one of the strongest banks that took the tests literally a few weeks before it went bankrupt. So I think that's what you really need to know about the stress test. But yeah, this deal of loaning money at 1% to be invested back into government bonds at 4 or 5%, I mean, it cures two problems. It helps banks strengthen their balance sheets by giving them free carry trade, 4%, as you say. It also helps bring down the borrowing costs for the government because a lot of that money is recycled into government debt. So you have this crazy situation where the ECB is effectively printing money to give to the banks to buy the ECB's own bonds or the various national central banks' own bonds back. So we have another circular trade here that helps everybody out, but nothing's really being generated. But that's the world we live in now, this whole kick-the-can world.
Yeah, it really is a very, very interesting situation. Now, the IMF did come out and say, though, that they said that they are looking for 2011 and 2012. They are looking for the downside risks to continue to outweigh the upside risks on the one hand, and they talk about, in the advanced economies, weak sovereign balance sheets, still moribund, direct quote, real estate markets continue to present major concerns, especially in certain euro area economies. And I think that that's a very good point. They are looking for GDP being down slightly from where it was before. They're looking for GDP to be down from the 5% where it was in 2010, GDP growth obviously, to somewhere between 4.5%, somewhere around 4.5%. Well, that certainly isn't getting out of the woods, Grant.
It's not, no. And I think that's a very good point. I mean, the Eurozone feels and looks as though it could go into a recession this year. We could see negative growth across the whole of the Eurozone. I think the U.S. numbers, even though the GDP number was revised up slightly today, if you look into it and X the inventory builds, it wasn't a particularly good number. And even in Asia, you know, we're seeing China, they came out with 8.9% last quarter. If you read a lot of research from guys that know China very, very well, their concern is that we could see material slowing in China. And I think without this Asian growth engine, then the world GDP is certainly going to come in lower. I mean, in a world of 2% growth, 8.9% growth is still impressive in China, but people become conditioned to having 10% a quarter. And once they don't get what they're conditioned to, people tend to react badly.
Well, let's talk a little bit about China for a minute. You know, I'm getting conflicting rumors on that. I'm hearing one person, for example, Lawrence Ralston, fairly well-known newsletter writer, is very, very bullish and continues to be very, very bullish on China. What does Grant Williams say?
China's the $64,000 question for everybody, pal. And there's a lot of very, very good research being written from both sides of the bull and bear case. The simple truth is we don't know. We just don't know. The numbers that come out aren't exactly believable. Not that makes them any different to a lot of the Western governments. But we've never seen anything like this in China before. So for every person who thinks there's going to be a property crash, there's another person that thinks the Chinese can actually throw enough money at the problem to actually soften the landing. So we're not actually at a point where we can make a critical judgment based on material facts. But unfortunately, both sides make very, very persuasive arguments as to which way this is going to go. You know, my own personal view is that China will certainly get through this year without a material hiccup. But I think, you know, that there is certainly trouble brewing. It's just how long they can put it off for.
You know, here's an interesting comment that came out on this report, and this is a direct quote again. At the same time, fiscal positions need to be placed on sustainable medium-term paths by implementing fiscal consolidation plans and entitlement reforms supported by stronger fiscal rules and institutions. The thing that concerns me here is they say, another quote, this need is particularly urgent in the United States to stem the risk of globally destabilizing changes in bond markets. Talk about that a little bit for us, will you?
We have a very interesting situation going on right now, and that's that the governments of the world are actively trying to dispel the fear and get people lending again, get the machinery of the credit markets functioning properly. The big problem is a big result of that fear that people have been experiencing for the last few years has been this rush into government bonds. And as people rush into government bonds, they bring down borrowing costs for Western governments.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once you dispel that fear, and once people are convinced that the banking system isn't going to collapse, as they've been repeatedly warned since 2008, you know, they suddenly look at these treasury bonds they've been buying the last few years and realize that, you know, the UK, for example, which had the best performing asset in the world, UK gilt bonds last year, they've been paid 92 basis points for a five-year bond.
And just 1 second. We've got to take a break here for some of the commercials to air. You guys stick around. Big Al's going to be right back with Grant Williams.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Take charge of your health. Get all natural innovative health products from the new AffinityHealthProducts.com. From weight loss to cold and flu remedies to better joint function, discover natural products you can trust online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, like Lose and Snooze. Fact is, 90% of all diets fail. Why not try a completely new way of dieting? With Lose and Snooze, you can achieve weight loss while you sleep. Guaranteed. Reduce caloric intake, get a deep restorative sleep, build lean muscle mass, and keep your metabolic rate up to burn fat throughout the night and day. With all-natural Lose and Snooze from AffinityHealthProducts.com. Include the one-day diet for a complete weight loss package. Order Lose and Snooze and the one-day diet and other all-natural products for men and women online at AffinityHealthProducts.com, spelled AFFINITY, HealthProducts.com, or call 877-888-7126. That's 877-888-7126.
These are strange days indeed, from economic turmoil to weather-related events, and yes, even power outages. Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Let me tell you why I use WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com provides the most affordable and complete ready-made meals for emergency preparedness and outdoor use. Their entrees like pasta Alfredo, savory stroganoff, and apple cinnamon cereal carry a 25-year shelf life and are prepared in minutes simply by adding water. They even provide great-tasting a la carte items like freeze-dried fruits, vegetables, vegetables, and desserts to ensure that you have more nutrition and energy when you need it most. Visit wisefoodstorage.com today to request a free entree sample and see for yourself why they are the best in the business. For a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get no-cost shipping on any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com or call 1-855-FOODWISE and be sure to mention the promo code Lewis for a free sample and free shipping on any order. Be wise and be ready with wisefoodstorage.com.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
Hey there, you've reached Claire. Leave me a message.
Claire, it's Ann. Hey, you know that hormone balancing product we talked about before? The all natural one. Ambrin? Well, I gotta tell you this. Not only did Ambrin stop my hot flashes, but since I started the Ambrin program, I have lost so much weight. Seriously, even my belly fat, it's gone. I haven't been this thin in years. I feel great. Give me a call.
The leading cause of weight gain in women over 40 is hormonal imbalance. Until you balance your hormones, it can be practically impossible to lose weight. Ambrin restores hormonal balance naturally, so the weight can just fall off. Yes, even that stubborn belly fat. Plus, Ambrin eliminates other symptoms of hormonal aging, too. So with your hormones in balance, you can feel great and finally lose the weight. Be one of the first 50 callers right now, and they'll send you a complimentary risk-free trial with a 30-day supply, free. Call 1-800-839-2959. That's 1-800-839-2959. 1-800-839-2959.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990, this is the Corlin Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. After the break, Big Al is back with Grant Williams. We're talking about the concern surrounding the bond markets right now. A lot of people, my buddy Trader Raj, for example, is very, very concerned about this. I think it's a legitimate concern, and I think that that is something that everybody really needs to keep in the back of their minds. You want to continue on with your education, for lack of better terms, on that subject, Grant?
Yeah, sure. Look, as I was saying before the break, you know, we live in a world where government bonds pay very, very little interest, and they've been able to do that because people have been afraid.
Right.
And as soon as people stop being afraid and start looking at their pension, their retirement, the kind of money they're going to have to live on, and they start looking at inflation, you realize that, you know, a five-year bond paying you 92 basis points with inflation in the UK, I'm using the UK as an example because it is a great example, five-year gilts pay 92 basis points. UK inflation is running at 5%, so you don't need to be a genius to realize that if you hold those bonds, you're losing a lot of money over time. It's just unsustainable. So as the governments dispel the fear, they actually shoot themselves in the foot by forcing people basically to sell those government bonds and driving up their own borrowing costs. So we're in this spot where whichever way they go, they are damned, and there's nothing they can really do about it. The simple truth is there is way too much debt in the world. The simple truth is they need to do something with that debt, and the choices you have are limited. You can default on it, you can pay it back, which really isn't an option as we know, or you can inflate it away. So they really are down to default or inflate, and we all know which way they're going to go. They're going to try and inflate this thing away.
Boy, I don't know if that's going to work. You know, Ben Bernanke came out last Wednesday, and he was talking about basically, you know, more quantitative easing, is there going to be, isn't there going to be, et cetera, et cetera. And his comments really, really spooked the market. You know, what started out to be kind of an okay day in the market Wednesday morning just turned out to be an absolute disaster. And the reason that that happened, obviously, is that, you know, CNBC quoted him as saying that the Bernanke, in fact, dashed hopes for further monetary stimulus during his speech to Congress on the economy. Well, I didn't hear him say that, you know, really obviously, but, you know, it's amazing how much power that man has in the in investment circles around the world, isn't it?
The interesting thing is, and this is absolutely the perfect illustration of where the world has come to now. You know, what happened is Bernanke has actually said overtly in the last couple of FOMC meetings that there will be zero rates for the next 3 years.
Right.
He's come out and said that, and he's told people that explicitly. What we had on Wednesday was the fact that he simply didn't say that we would have quantitative easing number three.
Right.
He didn't say there would be, but the fact that he didn't say there would be caused gold to sell for $100, caused risk assets to fall. So we have a world that is so reliant on free money and stimulus that the very fact that he doesn't overtly promise anything supposedly is enough to make things sell off. Now, I don't specifically believe that's the full reason for it. There's a lot of speculation in some of these assets. But that's what the commentators think, because he didn't say, we will give you free money, risk assets sell off. It's ludicrous. The world's gone crazy.
Well, the world really is going crazy, particularly when you consider the following. You know, I was asked earlier in the week to comment on the impact that the price of oil plays on this terrible recession that the world is in right now. Some people would even call it much, much greater than a recession. And, you know, the question that I was asked was, do you feel that the price of oil is the major reason or the major concern for not going back to, you know, happy times are here again, for lack of better terms, in the economy? And I said, definitely not. It's gotten to be so complicated out there that there are a host of factors. If it were easy and it was just the price of oil, it would be a non-issue. But it's not. It's just there are so many things that are leading me to believe that the emperor, i.e. the majority of the free world, just isn't wearing any clothes, man.
Yeah, that's a horrible thought. But, I mean, the funny thing about oil, Al, is that oil has been climbing steadily higher for quite a while now. And all the time that Greece has been on the front pages, no one's seemed to care. You know, we've sat here in Asia looking at the oil price and wondering when the hell people are going to start to care about it.
Right.
And suddenly, you know, there's this tipping point. And whether it's $4 gasoline in the U.S. or I don't know, but there is clearly a tipping point that suddenly makes people sit up and take notice of the oil price. But, you know, if you look at demand for oil, you look at consumption of oil, it's increasing every year. And while there's a drop off, a gradual drop off in demand from the West, mm-hmm. the demand for oil in the East is going up almost at a 45 degree angle year after year. And that's not going to materially change because just of the demographic situation.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't disagree. You know, I started investing last year in the energy sector. And I have to tell you, I'm doing very, very well. I've got a couple of situations with infrastructure plays in the United States, and I've got another situation, a company called New Zealand Energy, that, boy, I think I bought that thing less than 45 days ago, and the darn stock is up about 300% already. I don't think the energy sector is a bad place to be right now. What do you think?
No, I don't think it is a bad place to be. I mean, you have to be careful because in a world with slowing growth, it is going to have an impact on the oil price. So people need to be a little bit careful. But again, like every other investment you make, it's all about your time frame.
Sure.
You know, if you're looking to buy oil with a view to the next 5 to 10 years, I don't think there's any doubt that it's going higher. If you're trying to trade oil, then, you know, there are some warning lights flashing. You know, as we saw with gold earlier in the week, you know, some of these things can get overextended and have a big correction. But one man's correction is another man's buying opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely no question about it. How do you think, I'm going to ask you one more kind of just general question here, and then I want to talk a little bit about your presentation down in Indian Wells. But how do you think that the upcoming election in the United States is going to affect the markets. You know, I had a listener comment earlier in the week saying that he felt that the markets were going to the conventional markets were going to absolutely collapse after the election. And, you know, I'm not really sure that I would agree with that. What do you think?
Well, tragically, watching this from afar, I don't see an awful lot of change. I don't see that any of the candidates have any real differentiation between them. You know, I don't see a big difference between Romney and Obama. I don't think material changes, certainly not the material changes that need to be made, are going to be made, because people are spending way too little time focusing on the deficit, which is really the crushing problem at the moment, and way too much time talking about some of the side issues. And really, it is a case right now of there's one thing you need to fix first and foremost, and that is the deficit. So I don't think the necessary adjustments are going to be made, so I think that could cause a strain on markets. We could get another discussion about the U.S. being downgraded again. I suspect that could be a real issue towards the end of the year if nothing's done. But realistically, markets are going to mark time until this election.
What I find to be really interesting is something that you just said, and that is, you know, there are some very, very serious issues out there. I mean, issues that are serious enough that they could, if things really turn south, they could really bring down the major economies of the world. And yet, you know, what's Fox News talking about? What are they talking about in the debates? They're talking about, should Catholic hospitals have to pay for birth control and abortion? You know, I mean, I happen to be a Catholic, but I got to tell you, I don't think that's the most important thing facing our economy right now. And I really, really question why Romney and certainly Rick Santorum seem to be focused on that. I mean, doesn't that just show how shallow politics perhaps has gotten to be in the United States?
No question. Politics has become a reality show to me. You know, the only guy, realistically, I'm not an American, I can't vote over there, so I guess my thoughts are irrelevant, but you know, the only guy who's talking about fixing the big problem right now is Ron Paul.
Right.
And whether you agree with some of his other thoughts or not, the guy who should be in power to fix the deficit, to fix the budget, to fix the debt is Ron Paul. Now, you can vote him out in 4 years if you don't like his views on abortion or any of these other side issues.
Right,
right now, you need the guy in there who's going to fix the major problem, and that's him. So, I don't know. You know, unfortunately, as someone in England once said years ago, you know, don't vote, the government always gets in. And that's pretty much, that's pretty much where you are.
Don't vote, the government always gets in. Grant, thank you so much. Hey, you guys stick around. Big Al's going to be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
So you're a maker of something. Woodcrafts, fishing lures, glass designs, jewelry, purses, perfumes, goat's milk, soap. Whatever it is, you made it here in America. Now you're eager for people to buy your products right here locally, instead of buying competing products made on the other side of the world, right? Then you need to check out localmakers.com. Support America. Buy and sell locally at localmakers.com. Doesn't matter if you're a home-based business or a major manufacturer. Localmakers.com offers an easy way to connect with customers within your local community, as well as across the U.S., simply by entering a zip code. And there's no cost to join. So if you're a maker who needs buyers, go to localmakers.com and stock your products on one of our shelves. Localmakers.com, promoting, preserving, and supporting your neighbor's manufacturing businesses.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Okay, here to wrap up the weekend edition of the Cortland Economics Report. I got my buddy Jeff Deist with me right now. You all know who Jeff is. We are chatting a little bit. We've been talking off the air, on and off this week, a little bit about the rhetoric that's going on right now in the on the Republican side of the aisle in terms of the campaign that we're in the throes of. And my question to Jeff that I find to be absolutely amazing that it's even going on is we've got some really, really important issues that if the Republicans want to do anything of any consequence, and by that I mean perhaps win this election, the presidential election, they've got to start dealing with substantive issues. They have to start dealing with the economic side of what's going on in the United States and forget about a lot of the social issues. And I'm not saying the social issues aren't important, but what I'm saying is the economic issues really are almost a matter of life and death in the United States right now, and I don't think they're being discussed to the extent that they should. Jeff, would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And what we have to understand here is that until we get federal spending and federal debt restructured, then the social issues are not really going to matter.
They're not going to matter a bit.
Absolutely.
You know, the IMF came out earlier in the week, and they were talking just exactly about that. You know, the article, one of the articles that I read centered around the fact that we're kind of slowly possibly coming out of these economic doldrums right now, but the biggest threat in the mind of the International Monetary Fund anyway, the biggest threat is we could be right back on the hot seat again. And I maintain that we're still there. But they're saying we could be right back on the hot seat again if a lot of the macro issues around the world don't get resolved. And the biggest macro issue that they said in their report, in their mind, in the United States anyway, is the fact that we're continuing to go deeper in debt. And that is going to be the death of this country.
Well, there's no question. If you want to look at the United States from sort of a balance sheet perspective, now governments don't have balance sheets per se, but you could say assets and liabilities, and I would include in those liabilities future promises,
sure,
i.e. entitlements,
right,
Medicare and Social Security. If you look at the U.S. balance sheet, nothing has happened in the last couple of years to show any sort of improvement or growth in any way. I mean, we're getting worse and worse and worse. So governments around the world, their balance sheets are getting worse from an entitlement perspective and also from a tax revenue perspective. Second thing I would look at is major multinational banks.
Yeah.
And if we ever get around to actually marking to market the balance sheets of those banks, especially when it comes to real estate or mortgage-backed investments, you know, we're a long, long, long way from any kind of health on their balance sheets as well. So when people are talking about growth or the economy improving, I mean, there are little areas where you could look at certain companies, certain industries.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their revenues are improving, but the structural fundamental problems haven't been addressed. If anything, they've gotten worse because we've created more dollars and more inflation to try to stave off the inevitable over the last couple of years.
Well, I would agree 100%. You know, and it's interesting, this report that I'm referring to signaled out just those two things that you're talking about. They signaled out, you know, the Medicare situation in the U.S. and the Social Security situation in the U.S. I mean, how long can this country go on and ignore these two situations? I mean, I'm hearing a lot of lip service, but I'm not seeing anything, you know, other than what's coming from your boss, the Congressman Ron Paul. I'm not really seeing anything other than let's spend more money that we don't have.
Right. What we need to start doing immediately is coming up with our transitional system out of Social Security, in the sense that we're going to have to pay Social Security benefits to people above a certain age in full.
Sure.
And people below a certain age should be allowed to opt out completely. And people in the middle, we need some sort of transition. We need to get started on that immediately. But what's more distressing, really, from an actuarial standpoint, is Medicare. The numbers are worse. The unfunded liability is worse. And we should remember that it's Republicans who are responsible for this horrible Medicare Part D prescription drug benefit. They did that to help Bush beat Kerry. So that was just pure political pandering to seniors. And as a balance sheet matter, it made the U.S. federal government's balance sheet infinitely worse. And this is from the supposed party of limited government. That's why the Republican Party has so little you know, integrity on the issue of limited government. And I think that's why alternative views like Congressman Paul's are starting to really resonate.
Oh, I mean, he's made a very, very good point, you know, and his comment to me years and years ago was my mission is to make as many people in this great country of ours aware of what the reality of the situation is. And I'll tell you, regardless of how this election primary, whatever you want to call it, on the Republican side ends up, the congressman has really, really done, I think, an exemplary job in solving that. Now, you went back and you were saying that the Republicans really, through the Medicare prescription issue, really are very much at fault regarding the mess that we're in economically. I find that to be interesting because most of the press that I'm getting anyway is saying they're leaving the Republicans totally out of the equation, and they're saying it's all the president's fault with his quote-unquote Obamacare. Elaborate on that for us, would you?
Well, he certainly shares some blame. He's been a huge big spender since he got in office. And what's worse is he's the figurehead. He's the leader of a party that literally wants to cut nothing. There is no part of government that Democrats want to cut. I mean, there's nothing you can bring up to them. So the Democrats are, of course, utterly without credibility as well and really should be rejected by anybody who's you know, concerned about fiscal matters. But the problem is both parties. The problem is that they both tend to want to grow the government when they are in charge of the bureaucracy. You know, so it's been a long time coming, and going off the gold standard in the 30s and then closing the gold window completely in the 70s is what's made it possible for government to outspend tax revenues so enormously every year. So, the Republicans share the blame, you know, with the Democrats for ratcheting this up. And it's important to remember, when Reagan got in 1981, we had $1 trillion of national debt. So it took the entire history of the United States from revolutionary period until Reagan, 1981, to come up with $1 trillion in debt, a number which he considered, you know, just beyond comprehension, shocking at the time.
Right. Right.
You know, now 31 years later, look what we've done. And at the root of it all is a political establishment that always wants to spend more than it takes in revenues. And that's demanded by voters. So we all have to look in the mirror here.
it's all about buying votes. That may sound a little simplistic, but I think that's the reality of the situation. You know, I am starting to agree more and more and more with our listeners who say, Big Al, there really isn't any difference between the Republicans and the Democrats anymore. That's why our listeners are so supportive of Congressman Ron Paul. I mean, yes, he's a Republican, but boy, I got to tell you, he's almost putting a new definition on the word Republican.
Well, he's really going back to the original meaning of the word, the old right that was, under Taft and, mm-hmm. and later Goldwater, that was anti-war and distrusted government growth, both in foreign policy and domestic policy. So really it's the old GOP, not the neoconservative GOP of sort of the post-Buckley era that was not as suspicious of entitlements and government spending, more comfortable with big government at home, and then, of course, always wanting to be the world's policeman abroad. So really the true Congressman Paul is the true Republican, the true conservative. The modern neoconservatives are the imposters.
You know, it'll be very, very interesting to see how this whole situation shakes out in terms of the election in November. I have a lot more hope, personally, in terms of the conservative side of the aisle doing pretty well in terms of retaining the House and maybe gaining a bit more of a foothold in the Senate. But, you know, in terms of the presidential election, man, I don't know. And that kind of makes me sad. What does Jeff Dice think?
Well, it's very hard to say how the elections are going to go, because 6 or 8 months can be a lifetime in politics. I mean, we saw that with Bill Clinton, who was virtually an unknown in January of 1992. And 11 months later, he was elected president. So remains to be seen. Obviously, a lot of it's going to depend on the economy. But the fear here is that the Obama administration, in conjunction with the Fed, is going to do enough priming of the economy with new phony money to sort of stave off the European debt banking crisis and create some anemic false growth here at home that'll help him argue that the economy is recovering.
I think that's exactly what's going on right now in terms of the unemployment numbers, number one. We've seen some very, very interesting housing numbers also. You know, cooking the books isn't anything that's new necessarily, but I would have to say to listeners, be very, very wary of what you see coming from the mainstream media in terms of economic numbers, because they're not out and out lies. That's pretty tough to do, but you know, you can do whatever you want with statistics. Jeff, thanks so much for your time, buddy.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.